Who's got a praise to share? Yes, Jenna. Yes, that is so true. Fantastic. Yep. Amen. Yes. Ray, I saw your hand.
Many of you probably don't know, some of you do. I have a pretty big praise.
Oh, wait, hold on. Drum roll. Go, Ray.
People's been praying for me, and I thank you all for your prayers. Recently, I did finally get approved for a woman. I was able to go take the test. Written the vision in the driving test.
Yeah.
I got the S-122's insurance, special insurance set up, and we'll have to have. And
fantastic. How many years has it been, Ray?
I would say
15 years. Wow, that's what God can do, folks. Amen. Fantastic. Linda. Well, you need to tell Pastor Taylor about that. That he'll take care of that. Oh, you meant it as a praise. Okay. Wow, that's great. We're running out of chairs in the junior church room. James. Yes. And specific? Fantastic. Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah. Someone else. Tony. Oh, good. Yeah, they're starting to get the cards that we've been sending. Amen. All right, Cheryl.
I need to
husband
to find out if the kind of cancer she had was in her bloodstream or just in the kidney. Which means she couldn't pass it on to her kids. And she
Oh, that's great. Wow, fantastic. Harvey.
Praise in a prayer request. I'd just like to praise God for his grace and mercy in my life of today. And a prayer request for my sister Judy, her 25-year-old grandson, was shot and killed on the 2nd in Texas. It's an open carry there. I guess they had an altercation and got a gun and the cops ended up shooting. So he was 25 years old.
Wow.
Young.
Sad. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Thank you. Yep. I have a praise. 3 days from now, my daughter will be on a plane somewhere between here and India. So we're pretty excited about that. 2 days from now, my grandkids will be here. And that's a praise, too, because I got some yard work that needs to be done. Brent. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And don't worry about the names. Yeah, we won't test you until after the service tonight. Oh, I could tell. Yeah. See, we're just showing love and grace to you. Yes, Kathy. Yep, we're just going to brag on you, James. Yeah, that's good because we can't find anyone else to do the glass around here. So, oh, he does such a good job with that. And I appreciate his dedication to serving. He gets the job and he told them up front, I got to have Thursdays off. So praise the Lord for that. Yeah, someone else, Ellen. Yeah, good, good. Who else? Tim. Mm-hmm. How's their recovery doing? Good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's coming along then. Praise the Lord. That's good. Yes, Ray. Okay. Okay, someone else, Gary. Okay. Okay. Yep. Absolutely. That's great. Fantastic. And praise to Del Marie's home and Charlie's home. And huge answers to prayers, many prayers there. Anyone else? Prayer request or otherwise? Linda. Okay. James. Unspoken. All right. Debbie. Oh, okay. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. Thank you. Kathy. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Joe. Absolutely. And Delbert. Okay, we've been praying for Mary, and she has, on Friday, two procedures. Okay, anyone else? Tina. Good. Yes. So let's pray for Tina's neighbor. And we can pray that it'll be easy, but Satan doesn't like to let go very well. But God's bigger and so much stronger. Yeah. All right. Last sweep of the room here. Anyone else? Let's set those to the side. And if you would, go ahead and turn to Jeremiah chapter 17 is where we'll be at here in a bit. Jeremiah 17, let's pray and ask for some divine help here tonight. God in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who gives us understanding as our finite minds try to understand your infinite mind. And yet you gave us this word for us to learn about you and about us and how to bring glory to you. So God, I pray tonight we would move closer toward that in Jesus' name. Amen. A verse from last week. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So there we are. We are created. Created. Yay for us, right? That's a verse that we look at. And when we generally look at that verse, we were created in the image of God, like God, actually. So that makes us better than all the rest of creation, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Absolutely. And yet, what's wrong with that thought? It's all true. But what's wrong with it? Well, nothing, except it's not a complete thought. The focus of that statement is on us. Look at us. We're created in the image of God. We're special. We're more special than the rest of creation. And remember, I spoke briefly about that Sunday night, too, and the trend in the Christian world where everything seems to be about us and what we get out of God and what we get from God and how blessed we are and make me feel better. Very self-focused. Now, what I said about that verse is true, but it's also not complete. There's another aspect of that truth. As the image of God, okay, as the image of God, we should reflect the image of God. Ooh, now we're talking about our own personal responsibilities. Yay, we're created in the image of God. But with that comes a responsibility to actually reflect the image of God. Then comes our topic of emotions. They were created by God in us. They're not the result of sin, our emotions. Sin has affected our emotions and how we display them for sure. But our emotions, they're good because God made them. All of them are good. And they equip us to do what God created us to do. Who would like to venture a guess as to what God created us to do? Worship Him, glorify. Yes, I'm hearing all the right answer all around the room there. God created us to glorify Him. He gave us emotions to glorify Him. They're not just for us. To reflect His image. When we reflect His image, what are people looking at? God. We're instantly glorifying God when they look at us and see God. Imagine, if you would, not having emotions. Let's say God wouldn't happen, but let's say God ran out of time in those 6 days to create emotions. Or He just didn't think we needed emotions. What would life be like without emotions? Boring. I'm hearing boring. Okay. Now, if you had this whacked out, crazy, stressed out, pull your hair out kind of a day, you're probably thinking, oh, that would be good. No emotions, right? Imagine a baby being born, your first child. You don't feel that joy that you do when your first child is born. Imagine a wedding. Now, guys, this is not the time for jokes, okay? The groom standing in the front waiting to see his bride. And the joy, the multitude of emotions and that are experienced during that time. How about a sunset? Beautiful. A mountainous scene. Beautiful. Sandy beach. I remember when we went to see my son in Hawaii, I could not believe how blue the water. I'd never seen blue water. I grew up around brown water, you know. Blue water. And it was so blue. I couldn't believe it. It was amazing. Snow. He knew I had to say that, okay? It is beautiful if you don't have to go out and drive in it. I understand, okay? How about just moments of celebration? Like Ray getting his driver's license. Y'all felt something there, didn't you? Yeah. By the way, what if you're the parent of a teenager who just got their driver's permit? You're feeling something, aren't you? Okay. Well, let's just look at both sides of this here. The child, what is the child feeling? Ecstatic, okay? Joy, intense joy. Yes. What's the parent feeling?
Fear.
Okay. So remember the definition of emotions? It's that feeling that motivates us towards a goal. We looked at that last week. So let's plug that in here. The child is experiencing joy. The same exact situation, by the way, and the parents are totally opposite. What does that child's feeling motivate them towards? Practice driving real well so they can get their driver's license. Actually study for the driver's license test instead of winging it like they do all their school tests, right? What does it motivate the parents to do? Make sure their child practices and call the insurance agent. No emotions. Brent, what word did you use? Boring. Yeah, a life with no emotions. Okay, what about the hard emotions? The one that I alluded to earlier where we would think, yeah, it's okay if we didn't have those. What about those hard emotions? What are those? What are some of those hard emotions? Pain, anger, disappointment, grief, fear. Good one. Brokenness. Regret. There's an emotion that at some point in life you all feel like you wish you didn't have to feel. Because it's not fun. All these emotions, they add depth to our existence. Okay? It's kind of like a black and white picture, and you just add color to it. Emotions are good, even the bad ones, because they help us learn about God. The bad emotions, some of you have mentioned different ones that I can certainly relate to. And those times there, wow, they taught me so much about God. They help us learn about God. They also serve as indicators as well as to what's going on in our heart. Why am I feeling this way? That was kind of a question we threw out there last week. We need to ask ourselves, why am I feeling angry right now? Well, because I didn't get my own way. Or whatever. Ooh, it's an indicator that something's going on. And we can use that then to explore what's going on. And even that as an indicator, it does lead us back to God. How? I realize I'm angry because I'm not being respected. I'm not getting my own way. Then comes confession. Back to God. Emotions can also propel us to worship God. So in moments of joy, excitement, love, gratitude, we can be driven with the intensity of those at times to worship and praise God because of those emotions. But in the moments of hurt and disappointment, grief, anger, they can lead us to lift our heads and ask for help from the only one that can really help us during those times. Once again, the emotions that God created are designed for the purpose of taking us back to Him, to glorify God as He created us to. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17, and let's start looking at how emotions can affect us. Our emotions can be pretty powerful, can't they? Absolutely. You ever had a child get so excited, you know they're going to get in trouble? Right? Like when my wife was teaching and I'd go to visit her second grade class. Never ended well. And it wasn't my fault. I would just walk in and it was like, wow, Mr. McPhillips is here. And of course I would bring little Debbie snack cakes and stuff like that. Get them all wound up. It's like, woohoo, there's a party going on in here. And then I leave. And I don't know how she would get them calmed down to go back to teaching or giving them all timeout or red marks or whatever they had in their classroom. But sometimes our emotions can be really powerful. We can't calm them down. Even the bad ones, the hard ones, like grief, that can be a very powerful emotion such that it causes some, and it's so sad. One man that I worked with, his family, his wife had passed away. And a week went by and all the family had went back home to their homes out of state. And he couldn't handle the grief. And we found him out at the cemetery next to his wife's grave. It can be so powerful. How about anger? And what it can drive people to do sometimes because of the effect that sin has on our emotions. They can motivate us to act on what we're feeling. That's how powerful they are. If you were to go up to a person, say, hey, I'll pay you money if you take your own life right now. They wouldn't do that. But they could develop an emotion at some time in their life that is so powerful, it pushes them past all points of reason and sanity. And leads them to act on that feeling, okay? Or the young lady who feels alone, feels like she's going to be alone for the rest of her life. And so she'll compromise on what the Bible says about being unequally yoked. Emotions, they are so powerful. They can cause us to act on what we're feeling. But they can also be persuasive, too. There are many things that can motivate us, but emotions need to stay in their place. We need to keep them in their rightful place because they can be flawed, can't they? They can deceive us. They can deceive us into taking actions that aren't right. So we can't let them have all the power to decide what we need. What is our primary goal as Christians? Again, glorify God. Bring glory to God. One of the ways we do that is by obeying God. It's always, always go back to God. Go back to God in everything that we do. What in this life changes? Everything. Everything changes. Our emotions change. Sometimes, every time the second hand hits the top of the clock, our feelings change. People change. Our circumstances, they change. But the truth of God, His Word, His purposes never change. Back to God. Let's look at Jeremiah 17. The prophet here, he's addressing Judah for their sins. And he draws a contrast between the man who trusts in himself rather than the man who trusts in God. And he uses in this prophecy here a tree to illustrate the difference between those two men. Let's look at verse 5. Jeremiah, God speaking through Jeremiah, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath or a tree in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. We trust in man. That phrase there, the man that trusts in man, trusting in ourselves, trusting in my feelings about a certain matter. I feel this is the right thing. I'm trusting my emotions. We trust in our interpretation of a situation, like the driver's permit, okay? One child interprets that as, yes, freedom! The parents interpret it a wholly different way, right? We trust in the way that we perceive circumstances, in the way that we perceive our feelings about something. We trust in what our emotions are telling us. And I have to tell you, they're not always right. Am I right in saying that? Our heart at that point has, what's the verse say? Departed from the Lord. Our heart has left the Lord, and now our heart is trusting in ourselves and our emotions. Because we trust in them, back to the definition, they're now motivating us toward a goal. What's the goal? Well, it depends on what we're trusting in. If I'm trusting in God, my emotions are going to lead me back to glorifying God. If I'm trusting in myself, my emotions are going to lead me toward what? Glorifying self. Now think about the last time you got angry. And it wasn't over sin in the world. It was over some sin towards you. And that emotion was motivating you towards the goal of restoring your honor or your rightness. It depends on what we're trusting in. God says, when we're that way, when our heart has departed the Lord and is trusting in ourselves, we're like a tree in the desert in verse 6. Can we have verse 6 back up there, please? There it is. Be like the heath or the tree in the desert. And look what it says next. Shall not see when good cometh. So God says we're like this tree. When good comes, when the right thing presents itself, when truth, reality is right in front of us, we don't see it. And we stay right where we're planted in the desert. It's like the person, well, I'm not going to go there. Yes, I will. From a previous ministry, this poor gentleman, perfect example though of following your emotions. An older gentleman, he had surgery. He was laid up during the winter for months in his recliner, and he just sat there and did not gird up the loins of his mind and let his emotions lead him towards bitterness and anger. Feeling like his church had let him down. There had been 6 or 7 visits to his house. The entire church went to his home, Christmas caroling to him, at least a dozen cards. And come January, February, no one has come to see me. No one cares about me. See, good right in front of them. And we choose to ignore it because of our emotions. And we don't see the reality right there. And so we choose to stay planted right in this reality that we've created in our head. Here's the contrast that God gives us. In verse 7, Jeremiah 17, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord instead of his own heart, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So this person is trusting in God and his truth and his purposes for us, not trusting in our heart emotions or our perception of things. And God says that this person is like a tree planted by water. Our roots are taking nourishment from God. When bad things come, it talks about a drought that comes. When bad things come, when a comment is made to us, or we make a comment to us in our head, it has no effect on us. Because we're so tapped into the source of truth and love, it doesn't affect us. As a consequence, we grow just like that tree. Verse 8 says that we will not be careful in the year of drought. That's an interesting picture that he gives to us. We just kind of had a summer of drought, didn't we? A long stretch with no rain. I worked for years on those blueberry bushes. I don't know if they survived or not. I'll be out to your house picking blueberries, Joe. Yeah. So careful, the person that's trusting in God, not their emotions. The year of drought is coming. Okay, what does that mean? Sometimes we get all tensed up over a situation, don't we? Stressed out. Nervous, anxiety, fear. The person that's trusting in God, getting their nourishment from God, it says they're not careful in the year of drought. They don't have care that bad things are happening. So there is no stress, there is no nervousness, there's no anxiety, there's no fear It won't impact us because we're tapped into God instead of our emotions leading us. And the result is that even in those bad times, we continue to grow spiritually. Do you remember the question from last week? Can my emotions be controlled? Do you remember what the answer was? Yes. Have you been wondering how? How'd that go this week? Did you control your emotions all week long? Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. I'll give you a minute to turn there. 1 John chapter 3. Can my emotions be controlled? And I said yes last week. In verse 19, it says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him." Key phrase there. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. One of the things that happens when we accept Christ is the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, right? He's there. God is there. Right next to, I'm kind of pictorializing this, God is there right next to our sin nature. Man, what a battle that must be. God's there next to our sin nature, next to our heart, next to those emotions that we tend to let lead us, that motivate us to move away from God, move our heart away from God instead of trusting God. And God, the Holy Spirit's right there. John 16 and verse 13, it says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you." Folks, we don't deserve that. Holy Spirit living in us? I mean, we don't deserve being forgiven for our sins, but we are. That's mercy. And then this grace thing comes into our existence. That's getting stuff we don't deserve. We're getting something here that we don't deserve. It's grace. It's the Holy Spirit right here with us, living in us. And as that verse said, speaking truth to persuade us, to guide us to God, to kind of recalibrate our emotions, because they get out of whack sometimes. And the Holy Spirit is there to speak truth, to recalibrate those emotions, to kind of get recentered. And I love that verse. It says at the end of 1 John 3:20, God is greater than our heart. Those emotions that can be so powerful, God's greater. He is greater than our emotions. And the Holy Spirit is in us speaking truth. Which message are we going to listen to during those times? Say the last time you let's say anger. Last time you got angry, okay? Over someone or something. Did you know it was wrong? But you did it anyway? You knew it was wrong. That's the message of truth. And we chose to ignore that message and listen to the message of our emotions saying, "You deserve this." Or the message of fear. Or anxiety. Or grumpiness, even. Our emotions can be very persuasive, but they also impact our physical world as well. Our emotions do. And the term for this, there's actually a big long term. It's called psychosomatic. Am I right, Brent? I know you know some things about this. There's a psychosomatic connection between emotions and our physical well-being. Our minds, our bodies are connected, is what that means. When we're nervous, what happens when you get nervous? Or what you don't, but when someone else gets nervous, what happens? They get the shakes, stomach upset, what else? Oh, a headache, okay. They start to stutter. Yeah, like if they have to speak, sweat. And it's not even hot. You know, and they start sweating. Their breathing speeds up maybe a little bit. All because of the feeling of nervousness. How about when someone gets stressed? They're under a lot of stress. I'll say it that way. How does that affect our bodies? Eat. Yes, there we go. Oh, I hadn't even thought about that psychosomatic connection, okay, between whatever emotion it is and let's solve it with food, right? Okay. Stress. Yes, stress eating. There is a term for that. Stress eating. Physical pains people get when they're stressed. Migraines. Not all migraines are the result of someone's emotions and stress being out of whack, but they can cause migraines, backaches, high blood pressure. You go in to see your doctor and your blood pressure's through the roof and you're having headaches and migraines. They're going to ask you what's going on in your life right now. Is there any stress in your life right now? David, a man after God's own heart. These are some phrases that the Bible describes about David. Here's a man that was after God's own heart. That's what God said about him. The only man that God ever said that about. The Bible says that he was humble. He trusted God. He loved God. But he wasn't sinless, was he? And we know the big sin with Bathsheba, okay? And as a result of his sin, it affected his peace. There's his emotional state. And it also affected his body, his physical state. Psalm 32, verse 3, it tells us, David says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old. That sounds like some kind of joint pain to me, okay? He's aching. Through my roaring all the day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. How about Elijah? Man, that guy had a front row seat to seeing God demonstrate amazing power when all the prophets of Baal were destroyed. Fire came down from heaven. Whoa! He not only witnessed it, he was the conduit, if you will, the leader, the one who called down fire from heaven. This guy was really tapped into God. Okay, we might say it that way. And the very next day, he's in the throes of despair, wanting God to kill him. Wow, wanting to die. And God sent an angel to him. Now, if you were that angel, okay, what would you tell Elijah? Chill out. Okay, all right. Oh, my. David, his stoic, diplomatic approach, he said, suck it up, buttercup. What else might you tell that Elijah if God sent you? Let's say you're going to be a little more genteel and sensitive, okay? What would you tell him? Yeah, Elijah, remember what God just did yesterday? Hello, are you stupid? Well, no, that's me coming out now. That's what we would be wanting to say. It's like, whoa, is anybody in there? Did you forget? We would maybe try to persuade him, get him to think about what God has done. And different things like that. And depending on the situation, that it may call for it. Okay? The approach that God did take, I'm not saying is the right approach. Y'all are going to laugh here in just a minute. But the angel came and, let's see, 1 Kings 19:5, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, Elijah, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Stress eating. There it is. And that's where it began. Those of you that are stress eaters, God ordained it right there. You tell your doctor that, okay? But then in verse 7, Elijah went back to sleep. The angel came back, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. So yes, our emotions affect our physical well-being. But look at this. Our physical life affects our emotions. Right there, a day after Elijah had just seen this amazing display of power from God, 24 hours later, he's at the point of despair where you might say he was suicidal, wanted God to just kill him right there. And God's antidote to that was, hey, Elijah, you just need to eat some food. What happens when you deprive a small toddler of food? Ooh, yeah, I'm hearing that. Ooh. Mamas don't do that. They know better, right? You don't do that, okay? Deprive an adult of food. Ooh, don't do that either, right? It's possible that I had a child grow up in my home that when they were, their emotions were, and that was how I felt. So I wanted to, we would say, would you go get something to eat? And they would. And everything was fine after that. See, our physical side of things affects our emotions. How about deprive an adult of sleep? What emotion is that going to affect with an adult when they're deprived of sleep? Anger? Ooh, short fuse. The fuse is definitely shorter when we're deprived of sleep, right? Grumpy. What's that? Confront. Oh, yeah, you more readily confront people, don't you? You're like in their face. I'm going to tell them the way it is. All because of a lack of sleep, which led to us being grumpy, which motivated us toward a goal of confrontation in an unbiblical manner, most likely. Okay? What happens to our bodies affects our emotions. And I think we can see that psychosomatic connection there. By the way, can we really trust our emotions? Nope. This child that I was referring to, you would have thought the world was coming to an end and they were going to die. And they didn't even know why. All they needed was a little bit of food. And they were standing right in front of the refrigerator. Emotions not only affect our physical well-being, but they also affect our relationships. Imagine walking up to your spouse or someone with a full cup of coffee and you bump into them. What comes out? Coffee. That cup is full of coffee. Coffee comes out. What comes out is whatever's inside that cup. Okay? If we're filled with anger, bitterness, come home from work, someone bumps us, yep, we know what's coming out, don't we? If we are filled with the joy of our salvation, what comes out when we come home? It's a whole different story, isn't it? So our emotions, they affect our relationships. Let's consider real quickly here in the time we have left, the emotions of God. How are we different than animals and the rest of creation? Free will, yes. Emotions, or we'll summarize it, Genesis 1:27. We're created in the image of God. Animals, plants, wind, waves, mountains, they are all displays of God's artistry and creativity. Are they not? They're beautiful. I mean, there's nothing more beautiful than a deer when you're in a tree stand. Just saying, okay? They're absolutely, when you're driving home at night and it's crossing the road in front of you, not such a pretty thing, right? All of those things, as I said, they're displays of God's artistry and His creativity, but we are expressions of His divine nature. Nothing else in this world is. So we have been made to reflect Him. God has and does display emotions. What are some of them? Well, one of them is love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He displayed love. Romans 5:8, God commendeth, showed His love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here's another emotion, joy, that God experiences. The Lord thy God, Zephaniah 3:17, in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He'll rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. But another emotion of God is pain and grief. John 11:35, shortest verse in the Bible. Can anyone recite it? Jesus wept, right. So this verse comes two verses before that one. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Pain and grief. Anger. Psalm 30 verse 5, for His anger endureth but a moment, and His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now, here's the thing with God's emotions versus our emotions, okay? His are unaffected by sin. So, over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at different emotions that God created, what they look like, what they are, what they look like when they are tainted by sin, so that we'll know what emotions of ours need to change, so that those emotions can reflect Him. It's not about us. This series, it's not about us. It'd be real easy to make this about us, like so many other things out there in the Christian world. It's not about us getting control of our emotions, dealing with our emotions, cheering us up when we're discouraged, coping with our feelings. No, this is about God. Every time we go to God's Word, we need to look for God in God's Word, be directed back to God through what we read in God's Word. And that's what we're going to endeavor to do with this. I think next week will be, not next week, not even 2 weeks. Next time we're together, we'll be looking at that emotion of joy and hopefully see how it can direct us back to God. And that's it for tonight. Let's go ahead and break up and have some prayer.